Welcome to Crippled System, episode 218 of our extreme podcast.
Toast to viewers, Nathan.
Toast to viewers. Broast.
Don't be rude.
Hey. Right, we're supposed to broast with, and then we're supposed to stare at everyone as we drink.
What? Why would you?
Is that how you're supposed to broast?
I think you're... No, you broast chicken. It's kind of like a wet roasting method. You get it a lot in like mom and pop diners in K. Wisconsin. I don't know what makes broasting different. I'm going to look it up. Like when you go to like the little mom and pop cafes, not cafes, that's not what I'm looking for. But those little like shithole diners, and they always have the red pleather booths. They always have broasted chicken. I'm going to look up what makes broasting different than another version of chicken cooking.
We are drinking some manner of maple whiskey, Andy. Andy brought.
This is the maple whiskey like that Aggie brings and shit.
No, it's not. It's not Sortilage, but it's something. It's from Canada.
Either way,
it's maple brought to us by Max, and this stuff is actually pretty good too.
Yeah.
Any maple whiskey.
It comes in a. And I'll end up saving it because you save all of your drinking bottles, and this is a maple leaf bottle that it comes in.
Broasting is a method that combines pressure cooking and deep frying.
Okay.
So that's good stuff. Get broasted chicken. It's good shit.
But yeah, this is not my first experience with maple whiskey because I went to War Machine Weekend and Tim Banky tried to kill me with whiskey.
Oh, he didn't try to kill you with it.
Aren't you from Kentucky? Aren't you immune to whiskey?
Yeah, but he didn't know that.
Sure. But you were weaned on a bottle of Jack.
Jack, come on. We're civilized.
Well, you were a baby at the time. They had, you know, it's like baby food garbage. Yeah, you don't give them the good food till they're older.
Yeah, yeah, we use wild turkey for that.
Okay. Oh. Speaking of, wild turkey's not the best, but no. It's not the worst. And so it bugged me. One of the most annoyingly obvious...
Daniels isn't even bourbon, anyway.
One of the most annoyingly obvious product placements I've seen in a long time was on the Jennifer Jones shows. That's not what it's called, but Jessica Jones... The DC or Marvel punchy girl.
Yeah.
Jessica Jones, right? She goes to like a gas station. She says, I want the cheapest whiskey you have. And then the next scene shows her drinking some wild turkey. There's no way that gas station didn't have something way cheaper in a plastic bottle.
Correct.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you can get in Kentucky, you can get wild turkey in the jug.
Sure.
Yeah, well, this is New York.
Yeah. They got something. They got something for a buck a gallon that's made out of lighter fluid and toilet water. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the house parties growing up in Kentucky. Somebody would have the 2 gallon jug of wild turkey.
House parties in Wisconsin were let's make WAP parties, pretty much.
Happy, an Irishman tagged me and admitted that you know maybe Wisconsin's onto something because brandy old fashions are apparently good. It's like hell yeah, they are.
Yeah, these are completely Fruity Pebbles mystery flavor.
Yeah. I mean, we're not ruining the contest because you know you don't have to guess by law. Any of those contests, like anytime you see like a thing at Taco Bell when they got their new box and they're like, you know, get the code off the box to win an X bone or whatever, you don't have to do any of that shit.
Mm-mm.
By law, you just have to like email them and you get an entry.
Do you remember back in the day when you actually had to fill out a self-addressed stamp envelope to send off for these contests so they can actually contact you when you won?
Yeah, for like the power of the phone,
and the internet. I'm old, and I'm Andy, and I play Kator, kinda.
I don't know.
I also play Gilball, and I play blacksmiths.
I'm Nathan, and I play the ever living fuck out of The Witcher 3.
I'm surprised it hasn't broken you, but it sounded like it came close a few times.
No, there are 4 or 5 real glaring issues, but compared to the massive pile of amazingness that is the game, those issues are mild annoyances. And at least one of the glaring issues, I understand why they had to do it, and so it frustrates the hell out of me, but I can't think of a way they could have gotten around it. Because there's no way to... So when you're in combat, your like jump and run buttons become like a dodge and a juke button instead.
You kind of lock on, and you do that.
You don't have to lock on, but even if you're not locked on, like, circle jumps. But if you're fighting, circle instead of just, like, a sidestep. And X, if you hold down, runs in normal, but when you're in combat, it's just, like, a dodge.
Mm-hmm.
there's no way to switch out of combat mode manually. You can't just sheath your swords. So if there's an enemy nearby, you literally can't run or jump. All you can do is just, like, mosey away. And that's very frustrating when you're just trying to not fight. But they had to do it that way because there's a lot of, like, you could just run past monsters, grab their treasure chest, and then run out of their lair otherwise. So to force you to fight the dragons guarding the shit, they just had to do it that way.
Sure.
I get it.
Sure, that makes sense.
And Dave, I'm Dave.
I was going to say, introduce yourself and your cheese.
Yes. Yes, and I'm Dave, and I don't know, I might even play Kador right now.
Son of a... But that's okay.
Yeah, at the moment, I play whatever Andy does. Mm-hmm. I'm picking up blacksmiths, too, by the way.
You are?
No.
Have you seen what they look like?
Oh, God, you turned him on.
Holy shit. There's a guy in a horse. He looks amazing.
That seems like an unfair advantage at a sporting game.
Yes. Well, there is a team that brings an actual, like, grizzly bear to their team.
Yeah, but at least the bear is just like, you know.
It's a fucking grizzly bear.
Right. But is he riding a horse?
No.
So he's
if the bear is
entity.
Riding a horse, that would be you could modify it to do that, though.
Who is driving? Bear is driving.
Oh.
How can this be? Your cheese.
Eating cheese just as
somebody second. In chat asked what was yes. on the plate.
This is our bounty of Wisconsin goodness. This is two types of cheese from a local Wisconsin cheesemaker. These are both from the Sartori cheesery.
Yep.
And there cheesery. Is
is that an actual word?
Sure. Let's okay. go with it. there are two kinds here. There is the Chipotle Bella Vitano, which Nathan is modeling right now. And also
the rosemary.
Olive oil and rosemary Asiago, both of which are excellent. And I think the Bella Vitano Chipotle may be my absolute favorite cheese. It's really, really good.
Chilies in general have a really good flavor to them when you pull back on the heat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love the flavor of jalapenos. It's yeah. one of my favorite. Mm-hmm. They're sweet like candy. They have this little nut. I just love the flavor of chilies. And too often, just by their nature, the heat masks them. So something like this where the dairy is cutting down on the capsaicin mm-hmm. in one entity, you get that smoky chili flavor without just heat.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I really like the flavors of peppers in that. But heat is a big issue at times.
I remember when we went and saw a movie at the AMC theater and you saw that they just had buckets of jalapenos, the little like Tupperware container of jalapenos by the popcorn butter dispensary, and we just grabbed like six of them.
those like pickled jalapenos, mm-hmm. those are the best. Those I could just eat like candy, like mm-hmm. no one's business. I mean they're absolutely nothing for it in terms of heat.
I'm always frustrated at myself because one easy way that I could diet is. I am not lying when I say that I could eat those like candy or mm-hmm. like potato chips. Same with like olives and pickles. I just love those things. I can just eat them straight out of the jar. And even just like raw green beans. Raw green beans are really, I like them. They're crisp. Mm-hmm. They're flavorful. I love them. There's no reason for me to ever be sitting there eating Doritos and shit. I could just be eating 20 calories for 5 pounds of fucking green beans and pickles and be perfectly happy, but instead I just buy chocolate bars and Doritos.
The issue I have is I would get a bag, like, I think kind of healthy-ish at times, and I'm thinking, like, well, I'll get a bag of baby carrots, but then I just eat the whole bag of baby carrots.
I just eat a whole bag of Doritos, too. Either way, I'm eating a whole bag, but one of them's 1,000 calories and one of them's 100 calories.
That's one of the reasons I got a mini fridge for my office and often keep it stocked with just jars of pickles.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Because
so, you know how many calories a pickle has?
No. Like 4.
Zero.
Negligible.
Zero, yeah.
Wait, what?
Under FDA rounding rules, pickles have 0 calories.
Not the giant ones.
They may have baby
pickles.
Huge ones you get from like
for gas stations and that
Emilio's or whatever. I think they have like 10 according to their menus, but they could be rounding up.
Yeah, yeah. As long as they are dill pickles and not the sweet pickles.
Right. Sweet pickles bad. Bread and butter pickles though I do like.
Yeah,
they're not quite as sweet as sweet pickles.
Yeah, they have calories. Yeah. But dill pickles like per serving it rounds down to 0 calories.
That's amazing. I could eat a whole jar of pickles, too.
Yeah.
Those are so good.
I infuriated a coworker who hates pickles because I told him how I went to Emilio's. And I got a sandwich, and I got the combo, and I looked at the options for the combo, and you could get chips, or you get a cookie, or you get a pickle. And I looked down and I saw their big, like, foot wide, still soft, because they're not even cooked all the way, doughy, delicious chocolate chip cookies. And I'm like, one pickle, please. And when I got to that point of the story, he almost stabbed me. He just stormed out of the room.
I my mind went to a place. I want a sandwich in one of the giant pickles. Like, take one of the giant, those huge pickles, just cut in half, and then put a sandwich inside of it.
Like the KFC Double Down, but with pickle instead?
Yeah.
So... Yeah.
I wonder if that would actually be good.
I did bring up Roll Braten earlier.
Andy, follow your dream. I want this.
So, I don't know if you're a fish guy.
So,
what Roll Braten is, it's a traditional German bar food where they take a chunk of pickle...
Okay.
And, you know, about size, maybe like a thumb knuckle, because these are supposed to be like, you know, popcorn food, whatever. So they take a chunk of pickle and you wrap a herring around it, and then you like skewer it with a toothpick to keep it wrapped, and then you just pickle that fucker. You make a whole jar of those, so it's pickled herring and pickles all in one little bite.
Yeah. I'm not, I have to be, my fish don't have to taste like fish. So I like cod and stuff like that, stuff that's,
yeah.
I like...
You have to like fish flavor to like, because we got it, because I had never actually had it. I was familiar with it. So we went to German Fest this last summer and we got it and I ate it to say that I'd eaten it and I've eaten it now.
I'm going to be making a trip to German Fest to eat it again.
I'll make a trip to German Fest. Absolutely. I'll go to that fucker every year. We should go together. Like go there, get some Landjäger and get Schnapps, whatever. It's great. Polka music, plenty of polka music, surprisingly enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only thing about the Essen House over in Madison. It's a great food, but you on Fridays and Saturdays you have to listen to a lot of really loud polka music.
I mean, get to.
Get to. Well, get to you
have the opportunity to embrace polka music.
I just go to the place next door, which is the Comeback Inn, which shares the exact same kitchen. In fact, all three of those restaurants that are in that block all share the same kitchen. So it's all the same menu. You can order all the same food, just at the Comeback Inn, it's quiet.
You can probably hear the polka through the wall.
Yeah. You can kind of, yeah.
But they have better bartenders at the Essen House anyway, so that's why I prefer that place.
Oh, really? Yeah. I've had nothing but good service at the Comeback Inn.
Well, when I go to Essen House, I don't need a bartender because I always just get, you know, the gallon jugs of beer.
You get a boot?
I don't get the boot. I usually go with the Kosterizer. I'm trying to remember what beer I get, but it comes in like the quart
the
mug.
Schwartz beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
It's like Kosterizer. It's something with a K. Like,
yeah. Kosteritzer. Yeah.
Okay. I was close. All right. But yes, that stuff's good. Mm-hmm. I really like that one. That's my go-to beer when I'm at Essen House. I can't seem to find it anywhere else, like in, you know, kegs or bottles or cans. So sucks to be me, but it's good stuff.
That's kind of one of the weird things about being in Wisconsin, because, I mean, in Kentucky, that doesn't have a huge local beer industry. You could get a wide variety of imports at all of the distributors and everywhere. And here it's just like, okay, yeah, we have 500 beers in Wisconsin. Why the hell do you want anything else? And so it's harder to get specific imports, which I'm not complaining about. It's just kind of weird.
I did look up, speaking of south of Kentucky, though, because, and speaking of polka music, when we were at German Fest, I was very curious, and so I looked it up, why Norteño. Mariachi music, Norteño Mexicano, why mariachi music sounds exactly like
similar.
Polka,
yep.
And it's because
it is polka.
Gulf of Mexico coast, if you're not, like, from pre-1700 immigration or whatever, like, 90% of the immigrants in the Gulf Coast, Texas area are Germans. Like,
oh, really?
The Germans landed in Milwaukee and Houston.
Okay.
And so polka spread into the north of Mexico from all of those German immigrants, which is why mariachi music sounds like polka.
Yeah, the reason it sounds like polka is because it is polka.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Like, if you go further south into Mexico, they don't have mariachi music the same way because they didn't have all those Germans coming to town.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Neither did I until that's why I was like, why? I like both of these because they both have accordions and trumpets and they sound the fucking same. Why do these Mexicans and Germans sound the same? And the answer is because they both hate America. Or, I mean, because of immigration.
Yes. And they hate America. Yes. Because of immigration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the two big Mexican breweries were founded by German immigrants as well.
And oddly enough, the two German breweries were founded by Mexican immigrants.
What?
No, that's not true at all. That's not true. Announcements. You have a thing. A stuff. The thing.
We have a thing that's happening December 9th. We have Who's the Boss? Everybody should show up. Right now, Travis is trying to work out to see who... since we're working with the Salvation Army, it's more specific to certain kids. We're going to get like a list of kids that we're going to be supporting for it. So if you can go to the Crippled System page, I'll probably share the link after the podcast here. Go and sign up for it if you plan on coming.
So instead of like the Toys for Tots, just random bucket, it's almost like those trees they have like in the shopping mall where you pick a specific kid and exactly. You're providing a toy for that kid.
Exactly. Or if you want to provide cash too, that's the other thing is they can always use that to go and help satisfy those kids. Hmm. That sounded weird. In this day and age. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, that's December 9th, you said?
December 9th. Yep, it is happening over at the Elks Lodge over in Milwaukee. Travis is, again, helping us out with that. He's the one who helped work out the venue details as well. Entry fees. It is
a fantastic venue for War Machine events.
Yes, yeah. It is.
It's a fantastic venue for drinking, too, but there's often a little bit of overlap there.
Yep. It's only $10 to show up for the day. That's pretty much all going straight to charity because they are providing the venue just for us being there, which is amazing. They're going to be providing us breakfast. They're going to be providing us lunch and dinner. So it's going to be four rounds. Again, this is not a tournament. This is an event. Winning does not matter for Who's the Boss.
Right. And bring extra money, you know, because it is a charity fundraiser.
Yep.
But let me double check if somebody ran an event there. You said providing the meals. I know that at my event, they had them there, but it was you still had to purchase.
Still had to purchase right. The meals,
so
yes.
The food will be available.
Correct.
And it's cheap as chips, so it's basically free, but it is not a free meal.
It is not a free meal.
But it's like $5 and you get a pile of food and it's all fried and delicious. So.
Yeah. Hey, Legion, what are you studying in college?
He'll hear you eventually. There's a delay for Twitch.
Yeah, no. It's pretty much. So on top of that, we're gonna have basically all the newest casters up until that point. I picked up the three special casters from the 12 Days of Christmas. That'll be at the event. So Orion, Jalam, and Cross 2 will be there. Cross 2 seems like he is a Crix caster. I don't know, Nathan, if you've been paying attention.
I have not.
He is all about holding the Dark Pistol, which is some evil gun that he owns now. And his stat line, his
That's spell Gaston, line, right?
It's Gaston too.
So is the new pistol also racistly named, or does it have a non-troublesome name?
Soul Reaver.
Okay, that's less racist, yeah. So that's good.
Yeah, no, what was his first gun's name?
Gypsy Kiss.
Oh, yes.
and Gypsy, like, Americans don't care because correct. We don't have Roma, and so we don't understand that that's like having a gun called Nigger Kiss. Like, that's a correct. Really bad word, and Americans just don't know because we don't have Roma. So I don't know if the European players, like, shuddered every time they play him or just pretend it's not on the card.
Yeah,
but...
Oh, and cool, Legion, because I, in my day job, I'm in academic computer science, and I taught software engineering at the university level for 2 years. So good luck with your studies, and awesome.
Your studies are lame. Actually, I'm going to switch what David said. David teaches computer engineering, so if you come to Who's the Boss instead of whatever class you have, it's basically like coming to class.
Well, you could actually, you know, inquire.
Yeah.
With David, you know, you
it's a tutoring session. Questions.
Yeah, a tutoring session to come to Madison.
Yep.
Or Milwaukee. I'm so used to saying Madison.
Right.
But yeah, come to Milwaukee. Drink a little. Engage in a tutoring session with David, and then drink so you forget about that tutoring session.
But only drink a little because the drinks there are very expensive and watered down.
No.
Yeah, they're $10 each and basically have no alcohol.
That is not true at all.
Or are they like $4 and made of nothing but?
Alcohol.
Also,
maybe an ice cube.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, you should come up because there's going to be a lot of drinking, and that's vocational training because engineers do drink an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
Yeah.
And David can also tutor you in that.
You need those numbers to go together to make something. Drinking. That works. But
Another announcement. Speaking of Travis helping with events, Travis isn't in the chat.
No, he doesn't like us anymore.
Speaking of Travis helping with events, Two more weeks left to sign up for the WI, not the WI, excuse me, the ATC.
No.
2.5 weeks. End of the month. I know there's a lot of people who are still scrambling to make teams. I keep getting questions from people for details. The details are out there. I don't know what's still foggy about it, but...
And it's going to be awesome. I am seriously, seriously looking forward to this event. There are a lot of people going to be there. And, I mean, Nathan is a fantastic master of ceremonies for events like this. And
Travis and I go well together because he's the Vulcan and I'm not. And so between the two of us, we have the two sides of the coin you need, I think.
I would consider you the Worf.
Worf?
The Worf.
Okay. I get beat up every episode, so you know that the threat is real.
Yeah, exactly. But that one episode, you get the shine, though. Huh. You get to, you know, pull out your Batwing and just... Rawr!
But yeah, this is
Batleth?
This has already been a lot of...
Batleth.
This has already been a lot of fun preparing for it, because right now on my team, we're in the most important phase of preparation, and that is deciding what our matching outfits are going to be for the event.
Last year was a lot of fun. The WITCs have both been a lot of fun. They're going really well. I'm looking forward to more people showing up. Although, we haven't had Pagani or Jay Larson sign up yet with their teams.
We've still got time. There's still time.
2.5 weeks.
When we talked to him at War Machine Weekend, he was planning on bringing in a bunch of folks down.
I know a lot of people were, you know, like War Machine Weekend, you're focused on that. I understand. It's probably the biggest event in the War Machine meta. Travis hates when I say that because he wants Adepticon to be it. And Adepticon is the place to go if you want to play War Machine at a War Machine event. By far, kudos to Adepticon for that. But man, do people love just hanging out and doing board games at a War Machine weekend.
There's not much of that around this year.
Was there not?
No.
Oh, well, that's because Brian and I weren't there.
No.
Yep.
I will say I was at War Machine weekend this year, and this is a good segue to talk into that. War Machine weekend was awesome, and I didn't actually play a single game of War Machine, and I still had an amazing time.
I know attendance was down lower than what it was previously.
But what about previously? Because 2 years ago it was down sharply, and people were all like, War Machine's dead, Mark III, blah, 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 blah. But is it up from that and still down from the prior highs?
It was down from last year, but last year also did include a lot of Guild Ball and other events, remember correctly. So, I mean, you minus those off, it might have actually stayed around the same.
Sure.
But I know that the Hobby Lounge actually got bigger this year. We took over the entire IK RPG section that was blocked off, and that place was pretty much full day in, day out, which is pretty awesome. Our classes, normally we run about, we have about 10, 12 people for the classes. Each one had about up to 15 or so people for them.
Oh, that's cool.
It was the Hobby Lounge was really awesome, I didn't leave there, unfortunately. I was there again pretty much Thursday night until Sunday afternoon when we're packing up to leave. So I didn't get to see much around.
Well, people came to you.
Yeah, yeah. I got to assemble some stuff. I did some fixing of stuff. I will say my talks with everyone there was enjoyable. It was real nice to... And I'm going to say it's not really a bad word or anything, but it was nice not having the stalkers there, as in the people who, you know, who were jilted by privateers changing and they can't handle it. And then all they do is just complain about it.
Sure.
It was nice not having those folks there because it was just enjoyable to be around everybody there.
Yeah, I feel that's mostly kind of died down. I think most of the ex players who were vocally angry about changes have just gone away.
Yeah.
And so the ex players who were more, you know, just like, hey, things have changed, or I'm stopping for random reasons, like Chili, for example, who are still great people, are still part of the group because that's what they were there for. Whereas the people are like, yeah, you fuck everything. It's like, all right, bye, Felicia. We just don't deal with them anymore, right? I don't mind somebody not playing the game anymore. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't really care. Just
shut up.
It's it is just bothersome when they just hang around in their old Celts forum and they just drone on and on and on about the same thing. They've been complaining about the same thing for the past 8 months. So like, privateers moved on.
Yeah. You should too.
They love somebody else now. They don't love you anymore. You should just move on.
No, honestly, I mean, the game is in a better state as a game than it ever has been. It's a whole lot more balanced than it ever has been. I mean, even though, yes, Crix is overrepresented, but at the Invitational of the 32 players in the Invitational, and I mean, I should stress, if you're not familiar with the way the War Machine Weekend Invitational goes, this is the 31 players plus the winner of an on-site tournament. The 31 players are the ones that have the best showings at a series of sanctioned large events beforehand. So this is 32 people that have been demonstrated to know what they're talking about. And there were 6 Crix players.
There were also like 6 minions players, or 4. There were multiple minions players,
I think there were
actually.
I thought there were more than two.
Oh, well, maybe more.
There were 5 COC.
Okay.
There were 5 COC and 6
I think
Crix.
All 5 COC were running Lucant, though, right? Yeah. Which makes sense,
Lucant's legit. But I mean, realistically, at that level, that if there was as much of an imbalance as some people say, there would have been 20 Crix players,
right.
Because
yeah.
this was literally the top players in the Western Hemisphere showing up for an event, and 1 out of 6 played Crix.
Because there's like a dozen-ish factions total,
yeah.
So if you had exact balance, there'd be 3 per, and so
yeah.
That's... a couple extra players. That's within margin of error.
I think there was a lot of Grimkin as well. I didn't. I know that there was a lot in the LCQ, but I don't know how many were actually in the Invitational.
One.
Okay.
One.
Yeah. You'll see it a lot, and like, and that doesn't surprise me, because one of the strengths Grimkin has right now is setting it down on the table and having your opponent go, "I have no idea what any of this does.
Yeah,
I don't know how to play against you. I'm just going to go ahead and lose, okay?" And then you're like, "Yeah, I know," and then you beat them. You know, it's kind of like when nobody was playing Mercs in early Mark II or back in Mark I, where you'd put things down, people like, "Alexia and the Who?" And you're like, "You'll find out." You know, and you would just beat them because they had no fucking idea. And so the LCQ, you're going to see a lot more casual level players. Like, they're going for the dream. They're trying to win the thing. But they're not the people who already are qualified.
Correct.
And so you can prey on surprising people with stuff a lot more at that event. But once you're into the Elite 36, they all know what every fucking Grimkin model does.
Correct.
So then you don't have that advantage anymore.
You don't have that surprise.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the other thing is a good comparison is it was either the 2013 or the 2014 Adepticon Warhammer 40K team tournament, where they had 108 two-man teams, and 90 out of the 108 had either a Tau or an Eldar player in them. So
imbalance in my 40K.
So yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the numbers we've seen recently as what the top players are playing. Yeah, Crix is probably better than the field, but not enough to be a big deal.
Exact balance is impossible.
It's just
impossible, and so you have to look comparatively. Like you said, a 90% playing one faction is way different than being.
You know 20% or yep.
It is what it is. But speaking of living the dream, sign up for the America's Team Championship. We still got the prize, both the Solo Masters and the team event. In case you're living under a rock, the way we're doing it this year, the team event will start a round sooner than the Solo Masters.
Mm-hmm.
So if you scrub out in the team event, or if you do well and just randomly decide fuck it, I don't know why you would do that, but you can drop and switch to the solo event and have a second chance at your fame and fortune.
And Gilball, we're also running a team event on Saturday and then a singles event on Sunday.
Yep.
I believe that's what it was changed to
in
my conversations, where I just lurk in your guys' conversations.
Yeah, it was a 3-man team event on Saturday and then a solo one on Sunday because they were going to do a 2-man on Sunday. And a 2-player on Sunday. But then, unless you brought 6 total friends with, there was no way to split that accurately. So, yeah.
That should be good. We should pretty much have all the stuff that we need for it. Should be good.
Also, I should point out to Arctic Circle that if you look at Famous Dave's, it doesn't claim to be good. Dave doesn't claim to be good at making barbecue. He just claims to be famous.
And here's the thing, and I have said this 100 goddamn times. And I'm with Arctic Circle on this. Barbecue is like pizza, where the middle, you have a bite of it, and it's like angels are coming straight down from heaven to spoon feed you the nectar of the gods. Amazing stuff.
Okay.
And then there is gas station garbage that you'd rather kill yourself than eat. And then everything else is basically the same. The pack it's so easy to make passably decent pizza and passably decent barbecue that that whole pack is compressed so much that I don't get that big of a jump in quality going from Famous Dave's to any of the places down in St. Louis. Mm. And every time I bring that up at War Machine Weekend, you guys all want to lynch me.
I don't want to lynch
you. But
the
point is, Famous Dave's is perfectly good. It's like, yeah, this is barbecue. I go to Dickie's. Yeah, this is barbecue. It's all the same.
Dickie's is actually, I like Dickie's more than I like Famous Dave's.
That's not saying much.
I know, it's not saying much. I know.
I'm going to say, I don't want to lynch you. I just pity you.
it's not grandma's homemade. Yeah. You know, I understand that Echelon exists. I'm not saying all of it is the same.
Yeah.
I'm saying that it's so easy to make it to that middle pack that's basically the same.
Yeah.
That the effort to go a step higher, I'm perfectly happy. I'm perfectly happy with a Chili's steak. I'm perfectly happy with Uno's pizza. I'm perfectly happy with Famous Dave's barbecue.
I think you're happy to settle with Famous Dave's because there is no Sugar Fire in town. If there was a Sugar Fire in town that was that quality, like we would eat there all the time.
If it's next door, I will bother to get the slightly better.
Yeah.
But the point is, I don't when I am going someplace, like you guys would drive a half hour and then wait in line an hour to get the Sugar Fire because, oh, we got to do it because we're down here. It's like, fuck it.
Sugar Fire is at least closer. This Pappy's was the one that was Pappy's super maybe. Stupid far away with the fucking long-ass line.
Like, if I lived, I don't know.
I'd be excited about Giordano's opening close to where I live. I don't know, honestly. People more familiar with Chicago pizza tell me that's not even the good stuff, but I love Giordano's.
You got to mention the question that people ask in there.
Like, would you be
Legion is saying, well, is it fair that he's excited about Giordano's opening an hour from where he lives? I'd be.
I am excited that they're bringing Portillo's up into the Milwaukee-Madison area.
You know what I want to come up here, which I don't understand why it hasn't come up here? I pointed this out previously in another podcast. There is a restaurant that is in Cleveland called The Melt, which is a grilled cheese place.
We had a grilled cheese place in the Westtown Mall for like a week, and then it shut down because why would you ever open a grilled cheese place? It's grilled cheese.
Yes. Have you? I've eaten at The Melt. The place is really good.
Good.
It is. It was I would say it's the chocolate icing or the chocolate cap that was on our ice cream cone when we went to go see Manowar. So I mean, Manowar was amazing, but then there was that part that was on it.
Was it the magic shell that got crunchy?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what you dip the dilly bars into.
I think grilled cheese is. Somebody says we're blowing out our mic levels, but according to our up and downs over there, we're fine. Is it Twitch really loud?
No, it's probably my... I'll take care of it.
Okay, as long as you take care of that. Yeah, because our recording looks normal, so it must just be a stream thing. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, the grilled cheese thing. We also had on State Street, a restaurant opened up that was all French fries, which is called Fries, but with like a Y instead of an IE or maybe
Freaks, the other way. Wasn't it?
Whatever it was called, it existed for like a month and then shut down because nobody gives a shit about your stupid restaurant. But I'm sure it was all amazing. Like, and that's the thing is when you have these basic foods and you elevate them, it's probably amazing. But for some reason, it's just such a razor's edge of people not giving a shit and it can just kill you regardless of quality.
Yeah. I took my wife there to Frites, the French fry place, and it was really good. Because it specialized in Belgian style French fries, which are really good.
Yeah.
And we were there on a Saturday night when State Street was packed and there was no one else in the place, and I was like, yeah, we should enjoy this now because it's not going to be around for very much longer.
Yeah, and it's just a shame, you know, because I'm sure it was good and, you know, whatever, but
time, it's like okay, this is an appetizer,
right?
It's like, okay, so let's go get some fries and then get dinner somewhere else.
Yeah,
this was on State Street.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see how they thought that they would probably succeed down there because it's, you know, it's college town. It's full of a bunch of liberals, you know, everybody in their trilbies and that will show up there for fries.
They at least have like poutine because that's a meal.
I don't know. I don't recall.
Oh, man. See, that's the thing. You have to, even if it's not traditional with the Belgian style, if you're going to have a French fry restaurant, you need to have poutine.
Mm-hmm. There was AJ Bombers.
There was AJ Bombers.
There was an AJ Bombers there, and I had a poutine burger there once.
Yeah,
and that was amazing.
Yeah,
it was just fries and gravy and
cheese curds
yeah. all thrown on a burger. Oh, that was so good.
French fries, cheese curds, and gravy. That's like you drink an old fashioned with poutine, and that's the four food groups of Wisconsin.
That's pretty much a recipe that I would expect to see on probably my favorite website of like the early 2000s of thisiswhyyourefat.com.
Yep. It's a great website.
I don't know if it exists anymore, if it takes you to bad places, but thisiswhyyourefat.com was great. It had so many recipes on there of like two donuts and a cheeseburger patty, you know, two donuts as the actual bun, you know, just horribly awesome recipes. And
yeah.
This is why.
It's still there. Ooh, and the top thing currently is a pepperoni pizza jalapeno popper.
So it's wrapped up with cream cheese in it?
It's a pepperoni wrapped cheese stick dipped in marinara sauce, stuffed in a jalapeno, wrapped in more pepperoni, phyllo dough, and then deep fried, and then topped with more pepperoni and pizza sauce.
That's actually not that bad for you.
Yeah, it's like a pepperoni pizza hot pocket with a jalapeno popper inside of it.
Oh, that means that site's been updated recently. I looked at it about a year ago, and I didn't see anything new on it.
Oh, no, like, this is from 15.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, Nutella Zanya.
Arctic Circle, what overrated hot dog place?
I think he's trying to troll us about Portillo's.
Oh.
Portillo's? Or, I mean, there's State Street Bratz.
If you go to Portillo's, no, because they were talking about Portillo's, so that's in the thing. But if you go to Portillo's and get a hot dog, you're doing it wrong. What you go is you get the combo, which is the Italian beef with the Italian sausage inside it. That's good stuff. You get something heartier. You don't get the hot dogs.
You also get the chocolate cake shake as well, too, at Portillo's. If you want to be get fat quick, you have the chocolate shake cake.
Their chocolate cake shake has actual chocolate cake in it. It's not just flavored like cake. Yeah, that's a restaurant that knows what they're doing.
I was going to say, I hope somebody isn't throwing shade on OSS. Which is like the most Madison restaurant in the entirety of Madison.
I don't even know.
OSS? We should go there.
Oh, I think I've seen... Yeah.
It's extremely Madison.
I mean, more so than State Street Bratz?
Yeah.
What? State Street Bratz is like built inside of a giant badger, basically. Like...
The fallout shelter made out of badgers.
All right, I'll check out OSS, but if I don't...
The name sounds really familiar. Isn't that over on the Wake Shore?
It's on Regent Street.
Okay, I think I've heard of it before.
Also, they have absolutely amazing cheese curds.
I have heard that as well.
Chicago-style Frank's offered with all the fixings at this homie hot dog joint.
Are you looking up the OSS?
Yeah, I have all of human knowledge in my hand at any given point in time. Speaking of which, because you were talking about the self-addressed stab envelopes, and it made me think of this. So I've been playing a shitload of Witcher 3, and as a side effect of playing a shitload of Witcher 3 is I've started playing a shitload of Gwent as well, because I haven't played Gwent in several months, and I'm getting back into it. So I played that for like 7 hours today. But I kept thinking, man, it would be cool... Like if they actually came out with Gwent like as a real game, like with actual cards and stuff to play, and then I'm like, but why?
Yeah, there's like, no reason.
Why bother?
No reason to.
You know, it's like we can just play.
Magic already owns that market.
Yeah. And even that, like, why? Why bother? Well, there's so much advantage to not bothering with physical cards.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing too is, let's say you know you come out with Gwent and you have a misprint or you have something like that, then you have to worry about replacements and all those things.
And transport, you know, like Dave and I could play Hearthstone right now. We don't have to shuffle shit, you know. Like that's the magic. Like, what's the advantage of?
And you're also easily able to change things on the fly too. You find out that Shivan Dragon was way too powerful. Well, you have to wait out for a new edition to actually make a new Shivan Dragon if you're online or if you're electronic, you can just make that change and everybody's changes.
Darnan in the chat pointed out that they did come out with physical Gwent decks, and that's true. They did for the special edition. There was three. There was, I think it was Northern Realms, Skellige, and Nilfgaard. I don't think the monster deck actually came out. Or not Skellige, excuse me, because Skellige wasn't in It was Scoia'tael. So it was Scoia'tael. But they those are different because those were the ones based on in The Witcher 3 cards, and it was a one and done and set. They didn't have like the trading commodity and everything like that.
But I think that kind of makes Nathan's point, though, because those were kind of forgettable.
They were. Oh, that's still neat. Yeah, well, in The Witcher 3, their version of Gwent is different than...
Than the free-to-play that's right now.
The cards are very different. The game functions very differently, but holy fuck, that game is so good.
The one that Jim is currently addicted to.
I am too.
Jim has no internet, and he goes over to Keith's house so he can play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we had to move him off the computer to do a Muse podcast there once.
Spoiler, I can tell you what my recommendation for today is. It's fucking Gwent. It's Gwent. That game is amazing. It is the best card game there is. It's just so brilliant to have the I don't know if either of you have played it at all.
No, I have it downloaded on the PS4. I just haven't played it.
The structure of the best of three rounds, and it's just a single, you know, game as opposed to just drawing more and more cards. And so you get your 10 cards, and you're just like, this is what I got.
Sure.
And I have to make this last. Like, you draw two after round one and one after round two, so you end up with 13 total draws. But in general, like, and so the feeling of deciding whether or not you should still be, like, knowing when to fold them. You know, like, as Kenny Rogers says, knowing when to hold them and when to fold them is such a magical part of that game. It's so good. Because all the other ones, you just keep drawing and playing until you lose, right? Like, when you're playing Hearthstone or Magic, you just keep playing until you lose because it's the one thing. Whereas in Gwent, you're like, well, you know, he's up by 15, but I kind of have an advantage now. Do I keep playing or do I just pass and then try to win the next two rounds? And or flip side, if neither of you's passed, you're like, I'm up by 6. If I play another card and then he passes, I wasted that card. Whereas if I pass now, he could play a 7 and pass me. So I have to know when's the right time to pass. It's so good. Oh, fucking, it's free. Play Gwent. Actually, let's say this. It's $4.99 because you download it for free. And like everything else that wants to get you addicted to the loot boxes, it has the one-time limit $4.99 beginner's package. And that's worth it. Spend $4.99 on Gwent. And it's so fucking good.
Yeah. There's loot boxes for just, you know, as like a, in a sense, purchasing the game. Because that's what you're doing with Gwent there, is you're basically purchasing the game, then you're getting cards for it, I assume.
Well, no, it's completely free.
Okay.
The game's 100% free, and they shower you with stuff.
What were you talking about, the Founders Pack? What is that specifically?
So, in general, like, to buy... So, it just like with Hearthstone or whatever, they give you the gold that you buy packs, and you play, and you get gold, and you buy packs, and you play, and you go and buy cards, so on and so on. And they shower you pretty well, so you can get by with that. Think of Heroes of the Storm, right? So you can buy like individual heroes and you can buy the whatever, and it costs, you know, X gold
or yep.
But you're allowed to buy the, like, the beginner's bundle.
Sure, that'll give you like two heroes for free or something like that.
Well, it's not, yeah, but, like, whatever.
Now they have the introductory bundles where it's like you get like half of either the support or tank or
something. Like, they have the seasonal bundles that are like $20 or something, and you get some stuff, but they always have like a beginner bundle that's really cheap. I know the Heroes one, I think, is $5. And it's proportionally what it is. So in Gwent, I think, let's say it's like a buck a box.
Sure.
A buck a loot box is like what they cost if you spend money on loot boxes. You can one time buy a starter pack or a starter bundle that is $5 and gets you 10 packs and a guaranteed elite super card and some other commodity. And so it's a super good bargain compared to what the loot boxes normally cost.
So it's not exactly a play to win. It's more so just to get your foot into the door.
Yeah. Although I said the dailies shower you with. If you do your dailies in Gwent, you will just be swimming in cards.
Sure,
they're very generous. And they start you with a decent chunk of cards and whatever. The point is, I spent the $4.99 because I have played 100 hours of Witcher 3 and I've played 100 fucking hours of Gwent and they've gotten $25 total out of me. They deserved $5 more.
I know Brian's policy on that too is if he's playing like a free to play game and he's put so much time into it, you know, it's might as well pay for their, you know, for their kids' food. I mean, I'm perfectly fine with that too.
Brian will get more into it. I know, like, that Star Wars game Brian plays, he's probably spent like a grand on that fucking thing.
He's already left the guild with Jeremy and then he's on his own guild with other people that are really super serial about it.
So, but I'm a one and done. Like, I'm like, you have earned $5. Like, I bought the $4.99 thing. Mm-hmm. And they're like, would you like us to remember your credit card for future purchases? No. And I'm like, nope. No need. There will be no future purchases.
Correct.
This is my thing. Oh, yeah. And some Legion mentioned Warframe in the chat.
Correct.
Again, yeah. All these free-to-plays, they usually I will not buy packs at the normal rate, but if I play them for like 40, 50 hours and they have some one-time buy mm-hmm. starter bundle, I'll throw $5-$10 at them for sure.
The issue I have generally, and you watch the same shows I do pretty much mm-hmm. on the Gymquisition, is the pay to win things. Yeah. Those are the ones that are egregious. Upcoming Battlefront, they
toned that way down apparently because of all the backlash.
Really?
Like there was massive backlash all over the internet, and so I heard they toned it down.
That would be amazing.
Did you see the patent they applied for?
Activision's patent?
Yeah.
The Activision patent where they were purposely, yeah.
Actively targeting people because for items that other players have, so they would match them with those type of players.
Yeah.
There's like bottled and distilled evil. It's amazing.
It's not to say they'll actually do it, but it's, you know, the fact that they applied for a patent for it is pretty horrible.
It's not
pretty
to
horrible.
Say they've done it. They will do it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I'm happy if that's the case with Battlefront. I'm happy that there's enough backlash for them to listen for those things. Because, man, I don't mind. Like everyone compares them to Overwatch loot boxes. In Overwatch loot boxes, I feel like they're the least of them because you can't resell them. You can't do anything with them. They're also purely cosmetic. There's nothing in those.
I don't see how you can really complain about Overwatch loot boxes because you buy the game and you have every capability you will ever have in the game from day one. And with the initial buy-in, the loot boxes are just cosmetic and nothing else.
Yeah, that's all they are. I mean, if you want your really cool looking Zarya skin, well, I mean, you have to work for it. I mean, there is a matter of chance if you're trying to get the Zarya skin for a random holiday event, which you might not be able to get, but you might have enough gold to purchase it directly.
The problem with the purely cosmetic loot boxes. So, pay to win is bad for everyone involved, right?
Correct.
Because if I drop $100 and I just beat the shit out of you guys in the game, it's not fair to you.
You get special ammo, special gun.
It's terrible.
Yep.
The problem with the cosmetics only is it's still insidious, whereas there is a non-negligible number of people out there who, number one, own Overwatch, as an example. Mm. Any game. It's true of any game, but own Overwatch. Number two, give a shit about cosmetics. And number three, are gambling addicts.
They have the...
And if you are all three of those things, you will spend buckets of money on a completely irrelevant pile of pixels because this company is willing to take it from you.
Yeah, it's called operant conditioning. I took a course in psychology after playing Diablo for a while, and I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is Diablo is a Skinner box.
It's you have these games that are a game, and then they're like, well, we can also here's a Skinner box also. And
what's a Skinner box?
Skinner box is, Skinner was a behavioral scientist, and the box was studying, it was rats specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the fact that, like, if you pushed a lever and it released a treat,
mm-hmm.
the rat would push the lever when it was hungry. Because it would get a treat. It's like, I am hungry, I need food, push a lever, get food block. If the lever randomly sometimes did and sometimes didn't release a treat, that rat would slap that lever all day, every day until it died because it never knew for sure if it would get more treats, and so it needed to keep hitting that thing.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, that's what a loot box is.
That behavioral is like, here, keep doing the thing. Keep grinding the grind because you never know when you'll need it. And keep go, and the rewards and the jingling of the keys.
Yeah, it's psychologically, mammals are, I don't know if even, probably lizards too, things with brains are hardwired to just hit the button.
Sure.
And the weird thing, the counterintuitive thing, is that if there's a small chance of it succeeding and a small random chance, you get conditioned. The desire
How's
to do it is
Halloween
even stronger.
How's that Halloween mount going for you, Andy?
Oh, I got it finally.
Oh, did you after like a decade of doing the raid every single day?
Yeah.
That's your Skinner box, is that Halloween mount.
Yeah, I don't press the button anymore, though. I got what I needed. But yeah, no, that Yeah, that took a long time. I understand that.
WoW has my favorite example of, it's not a loot box based thing, but WoW has my favorite example of the bald faced
pets.
Insidious. No. When WoW, it might have even been in beta. I don't think it was when WoW came out originally. I don't know how early they did this switch, but when WoW first was a thing, when you first started playing, you would get normal experience. Mm-hmm. And after a few hours, your character would become fatigued, mm-hmm. and you would get half experience.
Yep. Well,
there's no. This is a fact. You would get normal experience, and then mm-hmm. you would become fatigued and get half experience. Mm-hmm. People hated it, so they changed it. So when you first started playing, you were well rested and got double experience. And then after a while, the bonus would wear off, and you'd get normal experience. Mm-hmm. But they didn't change the numbers at all. They just changed what they called it. It was the exact same fucking system.
No.
They just changed the words, and people were like, oh boy, double, I better play every day. Skinner box, Skinner box, Skinner box, hit that lever every day.
Yeah. I just go into an inn and then log out in the inn, and then I get double experience the next time I log in. It's great.
I just don't fucking play. I'm going to play the MMO, which is get another job, and it pays way better. Instead of loot, I get money, and I buy real world loot with it.
Yeah, that's kind of the biggest thing I had with we talked a little bit before, is the microtransactions, the ones where you pay to win, where, you know, you're actually getting, you know, extra experience that actually improves your character, not like a stim pack for Heroes of the Storm, which all that does is just gives you more loot boxes.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
That's honestly all the stim packs do, is they don't make your character any better or any... doesn't do anything to your character except for it just raises this bar quicker that allows you to get loot boxes quicker.
Yep. Oh, Darnan mentions EVE Online. EVE Online is a spreadsheet with a graphics engine. It's not a game.
No, the greatest game in the world is reading about EVE Online.
Yes.
That is so... Just,
I know,
like,
How much real money is destroyed when...
Money. And, like, it was just a few months ago, this guy, like, Goonswarm paid this guy to backstab his league and just, oh my God, like, there's death threats going out to this guy.
Yeah, I played EVE for, like, 2 weeks and have read about it since then and gotten much more enjoyment reading about it and playing it because it is a spreadsheet with a graphics engine.
It is really neat. I do love reading about the amount of money that is wasted in some of these gigantic battles and the backstabbing and everything that occurs. Oh.
Oh, and the thing is, like, they're so, like, the people who run it, like, they're aware of it and they embrace it so much, and it's so good. Like, one of my favorite little things was at one of their conventions, somebody brought out, like, a spreadsheet they had done with all the math, and they pointed out that the biggest, like, the superstar destroyer, basically, mm-hmm. of the EVE universe was mathematically inferior to having, like, six of two rungs down, which end up being the same cost, but they put out more and blah, blah, blah. And so, really, it was a game balance issue, and they should adjust that and blah, blah, blah. And the guy's like, dude, it's a giant dick. Like, you're flying around with your dick hanging out, going, look how big my dick is. And I don't care how mathematically inferior that is in combat, it's a giant space dick, and everybody's going to be impressed by it. So sit down. Okay, I guess I didn't factor that into my math. You know, it's like, yeah.
You didn't factor in the dick element?
Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's just glorious.
We see that thing in Grand Theft Auto a lot. Anybody who goes and spends... I mean, Grand Theft Auto is a pay-to-win type game, too. Or it's a play-to-win in a sandbox. It's not really... It doesn't get you anything by killing other players, but it sure makes it easier when you buy the brand new, which they just released, the Batmobile, in a sense, that's got rockets on it so the damn thing can fly, and it's got missiles and a bunch of machine guns on it. But it's, you know, that's all it is. You just go running around killing people. It doesn't make ever... It doesn't really help you in a way other than just say that you're a bigger dick than everyone else.
So it's just a giant griefing party.
Pretty much, yeah. Whenever we see somebody on the tear with, like, a Batmobile or what they call the oppressor. No, we don't. Well, they're personal vehicles, so you get penalized for blowing them up. So we just leave that server and go to a different server. That's kind of the issue with Grand Theft Auto, is you run into a lot of people that have way too much money and are too bored. So they just hunt you down, and it's no fun. So then you just go to a different server and don't have to worry about it then.
Fair dinkum.
Fair Dinkum.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That seems like a good point.
Oh, okay.
It's Australian for that's a good point.
Ah. Ooh. War Machine Weekend was fun.
Oh, War Machine Weekend was awesome.
Yeah, you guys. Well, did you both go? Yeah, talk
yeah.
about that.
Yeah,
yeah. We already did a little bit.
We already did talk.
You didn't talk much.
No, I went.
You mentioned you were stuck in the painting lounge the entire time.
Pretty much.
Now David's gonna vomit statistics for a while I eat cheese.
Yeah, I don't have all that much statistics. I mean, I didn't actually.
Who are you?
I gotta pee real quick. All
right.
Oh, you don't have. I can.
He was gonna go behind you while you talked.
Okay. Yeah, so I was hoping to make the LCQ, but something came up at the last minute, so I was a bit late for that. So I showed up, I hung out. I mean, I think nobody tried to kill me with beer because they knew I lived in Wisconsin, and so I would be immune to that. But what mm-hmm. they didn't realize is I grew up in Kentucky, so I'm also immune to whiskey, and so I resisted the attempts for people to kill me with whiskey. No, it was awesome. It was stunningly awesome. And I say that as a big War Machine player that didn't actually play a game of War Machine because I was too busy to play War Machine there. I was really happy to be able to do the list submission for the War Machine Weekend Invitational and get everything printed out and set up for everyone there. And that I had kind of put together at the last minute. And I'm still working on getting that package to the point that anyone can use that.
Cool.
Because we actually had a system set up for it that I thought was pretty cool, that I was able to print out little cards for all of the people at the War Machine that were in the Invitational that had QR codes.
Spoiler real quick before you go on with that. I just want to let you know that you like had me in a chat with like mm-hmm. Rick where you were discussing like merging some stuff yes. and do this, that, whatever. I unsubscribed to that chat immediately. Because you were vomiting like words that I couldn't understand. You're like, oh, we should do this, you know, integrated QR data flopper, blah, blah, blah. And then he'd respond with other words that I didn't understand. And I'm like, turn off notifications. So I'm still in the chat. Yeah. My phone doesn't tell me when you say more gibberish words. But QR yes, code yes. I get. So go on yes. with your QR yeah. code story. I just thought you deserved to know that I checked out of that thing really quickly. So no, if there's ever anything in there that's important, you need to like message me privately and say, hey, check that chat. Because I ain't checking that chat.
Oh, trust me. As I said earlier, I used to teach engineering, so I'm used to people checking out when I'm talking.
That was a you and Rick chat that I'm allowed to read. And I'll read it if I need to. But I like they would kept popping up. I'm like, shut up. I'm playing Witcher.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the other thing is that we have an awesome War Machine community here in Madison. And I mean, in addition to Nate, who's one of the top event organizers, I'm the conflict chamber guy. And Rick, who's another one of our locals who used to be our press ganger while the press ganger program was still a thing, is the PG Swiss guy, which is the Swiss pairing system that a lot of events use.
Yeah.
And Rick and I are working together on integrating Conflict Chamber and PG Swiss to do a lot of things in cooler ways.
And Swiss had always been like a hipster alternate for DoYu, and we had pushed for it for some time. But ever for the last few years, the guy who did DoYu hasn't updated it, so it's kind of yeah. fallen by the wayside. So PG Swiss has more and more become the actual standard that more and more people are using. So mm-hmm. that's kind of cool. So if you two fully meld that system, it'll be this worldwide database that could be amazing.
Weren't we supposed to drink those on air?
Well, yeah, I drank enough for myself.
Did you drink them on air?
No, I'm gonna drink some on air.
Yeah, the guy that was giving us the reasonably corrupt, the guy that was from New Orleans with the reasonably corrupt. It's a Schwartz beer like the Kostritzer. You should.
Oh, okay. Well, then I won't ask for a third of a can. I will just take a can because if it's a Schwartzbrau,
I drank two already. So if it's beer I like, I'm sure you will probably like it because I hate IPAs.
Goodbye, Legion. Legion's leaving us.
Yes, but No, so one of the things I had for that event that I'm working.
I'm sorry. One more quick thing.
Yes.
Yes, Arctic Circle. Yes, people do get paid real world money to fuck over thousands of people in Eve. Like, there's legit like Garbo the Spy level intrigue in there. Yes. Anyway, go on.
Yep. But no. So one of the things I got ready for the Invitational that I'm working on getting it so that everybody can do it. Is I printed out cards for each of the participants that had a QR code on them and said, you can go to this link and enter this registration code or just scan this QR code And if you scanned the QR code on your phone, it brought up Conflict Chamber and had a button to launch the editor, put in your list, and submit it directly there.
That's so cool.
So we were able to get all of that running and get a stack of lists printed out for AK right before the event started. So we had everything validated, and I think the big thing is have it printed out so that you're not puzzling over people's handwriting.
Quick aside, Darnon pointed out that real world money didn't exchange hands in his Eve examples, but the people became in-game rich. And as we've mentioned, in-game rich can be real world rich, so it's kind of the same thing, depending on how much you care about cryptocurrency versus real money. And that's the thing, not only just stacking, printing out a stack for AK, but like at the ATC, because we were running PG Swiss and everything, we were able to import everyone's conflict chambers, so nobody even had to bring their lists.
Yeah.
Like they put them on the website, and then we just pressed a button, and it was already in our tournament system.
Yep.
And we were able to post it to the internet without a piece of paper being involved.
Yeah. I'm talking with some of the other people that are involved in this, and we're trying to get stuff like that set up for not only the ATC but the LVO, which is the Las Vegas Open, which is the week after the ATC, and that's the first of the War Machine Weekend qualifier series. So we're hoping to get all that.
You only pumpkin pie?
No, I don't understand why people eat pumpkin pie.
Oh, pumpkin pie is so good, and these actually. Tastes like pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Are you done with them?
No, I was setting them down. Mm.
So
they melt in your mouth, not in your hand.
The aftertaste is really pumpkin pie. At first, it's like this tastes like nothing, and now I can taste the pumpkin pie.
But yeah, we got that ready for the Invitational. I thought that was really cool. I met a lot of people that I'd only known online. I was actually surprised by the number of people that said, "Oh, hey, you're also on Crippled System, and I like you on Crippled System." And honestly, I ran into more people that claimed they liked me on Crippled System than I assumed listened to Crippled System. So that was pretty cool.
Three or four people that listened to us.
Yeah, and they were all at War Machine Weekend.
Yep.
There's some people that they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Nobody should listen to us.
Yeah, that's what
we've always said.
I met non-Euclidean Nick, among some other people there. We went to Sugarfire, which even though Nathan is discouraging people from being excited about it, was damn good barbecue.
Ooh, that's coming from... That's wow. Yeah. That's a compliment.
I never said Sugarfire isn't damn good barbecue.
We drank a lot.
It's barbecue and drinking.
Barbecue and drinking, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ship Captain Crew. I saw that Jay Larson did well in Ship Captain Crew. He posted a big fistful of dollars on the Facebook.
He also went to Disneyland with Will Pagani and his wife.
And they did not get Legionnaire's disease, right?
No. Did you see the pictures in that of them together?
No.
There was like a nice prom picture with Jay
I saw
hugging.
One picture, yeah, I saw the one with Jay hugging Will from behind.
And then various amount of pictures of them riding Space Mountain in different poses for the picture.
I've never been
to Disneyland. I wish I could go. It's too far.
I went to Disney World once when I was young. Like when I was like 10, my family went there.
When I was young. I don't even remember. Wasn't all that excited.
I was too young to remember it. It was more so a vacation for my parents, and they just had, a small child with them.
And we got Six Flags right here. Like, if I want to go on a roller coaster.
Or the Dells.
Yeah.
Oh, or the Dells.
Yeah. Oh, and I talked to some people at Privateer Press there, and I'm not going to get sued to death, which is always nice. And I am probably going to be able to add in damage grids to the character sheet printouts for Conflict Chamber without getting into trouble.
I think as long as you're online and not an app, you're probably fine, because that's what Forward Commander did that for a long time, when they printed out damage grids, and those were really good.
Yeah.
So the
main reason it hasn't been implemented so far was I was concerned about Privateer Press's reaction to it, and it's probably going to be okay, so I think I'm going to be adding that to Conflict Chamber in the near future. And a couple other features here and there from talking to folks and wanting to get some stuff ready for the War Machine Weekend qualifier series.
Awesome.
Do you need damage grids? I have all the damage grids.
Is this like a black market? Are you in an alley? Like you open your trench coat, you're like, hey, kid, you want to buy some damaged grids?
No, but I have them all. But I assume it would probably be a lot easier to procedurally generate them.
Yeah. Yeah, when I get to that, when I work on that, I think I'm also going to get it set up so that I can generate SVGs to laser cut damaged grids as well, just so I can do that faster. Because I have access to a laser cutter, and that means that my little box of tokens always smells like cancer. And B, I also have
only in California.
Only in California, it smells like what is known to cause cancer in the state of California.
Nobody else knows about it.
Yeah, nobody else knows about it.
Those stickers are the obnoxious. Go ahead.
So for most of my list, I have acrylic damage grid tokens that I use for Jax, which is really neat. And my conflict chamber in the future will probably be able to print out SVGs if you've got a laser cutter to do it.
Sweet. An SVG. Yup.
It's an image.
It's savage.
No, it's just an image.
It's savage without the vowels.
It's a vector image format.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all it is. If you take the word savage and take away all the vowels, it's just SVG.
It's a scalable vector graphics.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Scalable vector.
It's just like PNG. It's just pwnage without any vowels. Every image thing, it's just some word for beating somebody at an internet game with all the vowels taken away.
You need
what
the
is
W.
JPEG?
I'll figure it out.
I was going to say that can't even be true because GIFs have eyes in them.
You mean GIFs?
Whatever.
Death of the author. Death of the author.
I was going to say. I think I used to call them GIFs, but I haven't pronounced that word in so long. I couldn't remember.
It's pronounced GIF.
Yeah,
GIF.
It's a graphical GIF. Something
GIF.
Interface.
Also, the main interface. Reason it's pronounced GIF is because format. GIF sounds stupid.
GIF is what you put on your peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Yeah, because that's the peanut butter is GIF. Choosy moms choose GIF.
What?
How do I get the ability to have my people submit using Conflict Chamber? Or actually, Conflict Camber. Conflict Camber sounds like a really weird tire modification for a car.
Camber?
Yeah.
Camber.
Camber is like the angle of wheel. Is like the angle of wheel is on a car.
Is it?
I think.
Oh, yeah. Camber adjustment.
Yeah.
Small metal shims are needed to do any camber adjustment. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Well, you don't want conflict in your camber. That's bad for you.
You send me a message either on Facebook or I've got an email address on the front page of Conflict Chamber, or you can hit it up on the Facebook page. I will respond to both of them quickly. I may not get a chance to do it tonight, but I will soon.
Talk about our Facebook page, or does Conflict Chamber have a Facebook page?
The Conflict Chamber has a Facebook page.
Jeez, why is so much stress on the chamber part?
Chamber. Anyway.
Chamber. Conflict Chamber.
That Shambling?
Too. No, it's a sham.
Yeah. Oh, it's a sham. The whole site is a sham?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's been wrong the whole time.
Yeah.
Just call it.
Because I love sometimes some of the bug reports I get that it's like it was a couple of weeks ago there was some data issue entry on like long gunners, and it's like I realized it's like wow, and it's like this has been in there since I put it up over a year ago.
But nobody
and
takes long
nobody's
gunners.
Taken long gunners, so nobody ever noticed. But yeah, send me an email. Send me an email. I can get you a page set up for it. And I mean, any questions you got, I have been working for the past 2 months trying to get to a point where anybody can just, go up to a form and put in the data they want for an event and automatically have the page populated. But, I've been way too busy to get that done. So I'd be happy to do it manually, but yeah, that functionality will be there soon.
Holidays probably will give you some time off. I mean,
win the lottery and quit your job and do Conflict Chamber full time.
I want to make conflictgamer.com.
Do you still own a certain other website?
I do.
Okay.
Until the 27th of this month, and then I'm not paying for it again.
Okay. Certain other podcasts need to be better about their domain names.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did we ever own focusandfury.com?
No. We could probably own it now.
Probably could,
Not now, because we just mentioned it over the line. But I think it's actually expired and gone already. Yeah. I mean, there's no reason for that. At the time when
when it first when went down.
When it first let it expire, I was thinking about getting it. I was actually thinking about talking with Beanish about getting the archives for Focus and Fury and having us host them, and that way people could, you know, we could release them almost like in a static basis from that point.
Right.
Which would be kind of fun, because a lot of the conversations they had there are very similar to what we have here, which is just a bunch of tangents and sometimes War Machine.
Yeah.
Their War Machine stuff would be incredibly out of date, but we would still have Nigel and Beanish, and those, they were entertaining back then.
You know, were entertaining back then.
You know, we should we should spin off a War Machine podcast off of this War Machine podcast.
Oh, should you have an actual War Machine podcast? Yeah. We call it the Oddcast.
No. I got the perfect name for it.
What is it?
Echo Chamber.
Oh, no. Echo Chamber, maybe.
Yeah. Eco Chamber. No H's allowed in either word. Eco Chamber. It's the strut angle that's best for the environment.
Yeah, I can't do the Oddcast anymore, because basically everybody who's on the Oddcast is now on the real cast. So
there's only three of us here.
I know, pretty much. Well, Jake is supposed to be here, but Jake is never here.
Yeah, Jake is like Dan.
Jake and Dan, yeah.
Well,
where are those people?
Well, I didn't actually ask Dan. Dan might have probably showed up today, but I didn't ask Kofoot, because Kofoot doesn't play War Machine at all anymore.
Neither do I.
Yeah, I know, but you're necessary.
Yeah, trust me. I have been... I disagree.
No. You are necessary. I poured it in there just to see what it looked like, and it's very black.
Oh, it's very dark. It's a black lager.
Yeah. The can even says so.
Well, it says, yeah. But I was
don't let
that,
the darkness fool you.
Yeah, it's a very good beer. I'm not going to say bad things, but generally when folks hand us beer at events, I know the intention is good, but sometimes the beer is just not.
I will say bad things every time at War Machine
this
Weekend.
This is why you're necessary.
Every time at War Machine Weekend, somebody pressures me into a beer trade, and I feel obligated to do it, and I hand them a New Glarus beer, and they hand me some double oatmeal chocolate ultra stout fucking hippie garbage, I've never been happy about the trade. I always take a sip and go, oh yeah, that sure sucks, and then I just leave it on the table and wander away. Every time.
Darnan asks, how is the Company of Iron support coming? I'm guessing that's going to be targeted at me. It is delayed right now. Honestly, as I said before, I am a computer science academic, and I am in the middle of grant application hell right now, and I'm not going to have really any time to work on Conflict Chamber until the end of this week. And I'm hoping to get Company of Iron working pretty shortly after that, but it's not going to be in the next few days. Hopefully by next weekend.
You probably almost... I'm not saying... That's anything. I think you're almost have to wait till Privateer finally finishes what War Room's going to do with Conflict Chamber first, because it's a little buggy. But yeah. I mean, it works, but it's a little buggy. I mean, there's still things letting you take heavy, or large base models.
And now there's a thing about like command attachments being able to be taken as a commander without a unit to attach to, yeah, or something. Yeah,
I'm sure that's going to be fun to program. I mean, as in them programming in War Room is probably fun to do.
No.
Plus the unmounted dragoons as well.
It shouldn't be that too difficult for a Conflict Chamber, but we'll see.
Shouldn't be.
You could take Fenris on foot.
Good. Is that bad?
No, it's freaking awesome. He's Fenris. I love Fenris.
Oh, because he's not large face then?
No, they have unmounted versions where you just take the
sure.
the guy that's unmounted.
Are you not supposed to be able to take him unmounted?
Generally not, no.
Okay, I don't know the rules for
Company R, that's a new thing that's coming out in
No Quarter
2.
Well, I know what it
2.
Is. Like, I know the concept, and I know that...
I'm saying the unmounted Dragoons is coming out in the next No Quarter.
So you are supposed to be able to do it.
Eventually, yes.
Just not yet.
Just not yet.
So it's not a glitch, it's just that they're jumped the gun maybe on the support or...
Well, they were allowing huge base models or large base models on like some Jack Marshalls and stuff. It's a little wonky.
You're a little wonky.
Do we know who Arctic Circle is?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Jim Goff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yep. We're going to dox him later on in the podcast.
I just doxed him right now.
Oh, well, I suppose that's true too. G-O-F-F.
That's not how you spell Jim.
No, that's how you spell Goff, his last name.
We're going to have some visitors soon.
Oh, shit. I need to pre-order a Dracodile. Did I miss my t-shirt?
No, you got to pre-order a t-shirt and get a Dracodile with it.
Right, but there's a limit. Like, that's through a certain time. Did I miss that?
I don't think so.
I'll look into it. Yeah, I need to, because I still need to keep buying stuff, because I might play again eventually. No, I won't.
Oh, you should.
But I have that shit coming to me. Oh, speaking of which, shout out to Aggie, the aforementioned Agatha Dubois, or whatever her last name is, because she volunteered to send me one of the... I signed up for the first month a day too late, so I missed...
Oh, so you missed
I missed out on the Swamp Siren. And so she was going to give me one because they... she and I forget her significant other, but they had signed up for two.
Sure.
And they decided they didn't need two, and so they were going to give me one of them, which was very, very generous. But a second person was also generous. Our own beloved Matthew Professor Lust gave me one. So thank you, Matt Lust, for that.
That is a really neat looking model.
And it had the DeWolf in sheep's clothing as well. It was the
I got collector's both. One.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So thank you very much, Matt Lust, for that. And then the other one showed up the other day, the new one. So I am subscribed. I just missed the first month and two people were generous enough to offer. I only took one of them up. I could have not told them about each other and then flipped one of them on eBay, but I'm not even evil enough for that.
Oh. I like the
Ben, that's right. God, yep. I feel so bad that I couldn't remember Ben's name.
Yeah, I was going to mention
it. I know who it is. Like, I just, my brain was hiccuping because I've eaten a lot of cheese and beer and whiskey and beer and cheese and M&M's.
This is what happens when you Wisconsin all night long.
Yeah, we're trying to make this more into a Wisconsin podcast than a standard.
And this is the first food I've had in 3 days because I've been busy with Gwent and Witcher.
You've had enough mystery Oreos. Why did I pronounce it that way?
I don't know. The correct pronunciation is Hydrox.
No. Ugh. No, I've been pretty happy with their mini crate. I got the Piper just the other day too.
Yep.
And it's a
Piper on Friday.
A lot of people would call it a more sexy version of the Piper, but she's got a classic dress her skirt goes down to her fingertips. Like
the Piper one doesn't seem sexy to me.
No,
because I think they are slowly getting away from that because they hear the protestation.
Yeah,
and so the DeWolf in sheep's clothing is straight up just like a cosplay. Like it's not very sexy because she's covered up relatively well. So the siren is cheesecake for sure, but the Piper doesn't look any sexier than Rupert does. And then they got some manly ones coming up.
The thing is, though, I feel that the siren is actually just beautiful. I don't really consider it more cheesy, I guess. It's just a female.
Yeah, I mean, they took a siren model and made it a hot chick with big old titties. I mean, you know.
She's got a little baby one and she's holding her hand, though.
Oh, does she? I didn't even notice.
Yeah, that's a little baby one.
Oh. Yeah, but the question is, does she have bigger titties than Rasheth?
Nobody has bigger titties than Rasheth. That man's got it going on.
Tubby McButterpants.
Oh, yeah.
Jiggling all night long.
I can make a Rasheth cosplay.
Well, I think most gamers could do a Rasheth cosplay. I've always... concept art, if you ever want to look it up, look up Rasheth's concept art. They do not have him like laying out on the giant slab. They have him standing up, and he actually looks pretty badass just standing up. I've always wanted to do a resculpt of him and have him just be standing, walking on his own.
It's just like the Blob from Marvel, where it's just like this big fat guy, but he still looks imposing.
Yes, yes.
True story. Do we have Zappity Grumbles? I saw people commenting on a Crippled System post. I assume that was you saying, hey, we're going to podcast today.
It was also me fucking up shit, too. Because I sent off the link originally, and the link was all fucked up. I looked at the wording on it, and I looked at it about three times, and it looked like it was supposed to be going to Crippled System, twitch.tv/CrippledSystem, and it did not. They had a question that we said we're going to make into a topic, but we never talked about it.
Well, that was a month ago.
That was true.
Wasn't it like video game villain or something? Or something?
Movie series villain.
Movie series villain?
Yeah.
Ooh, Rasheth. He's very triangular.
He's very sumo looking, especially with that belt.
I think he looks awesome if he was upright.
Yeah, there we go. Favorite villain in a movie series.
In a movie series? God damn it, I was going to go a TV series then.
This is from October of 23rd.
Yeah. No, that was the last one.
Oh, yeah, because it got canceled. Because it got canceled.
Because one got canceled and then War Machine Weekend happened.
Yeah. Favorite villain in a movie series plus War Machine talk. Oh, yeah, we were going to talk entirely about War Machine next episode. We said last episode.
Yeah. Oh, another announcement.
Sorry. Sorry. I would totally do an all War Machine talk. I swear to God I would.
We'll do one soon.
So I forgot to mention this, too. Next episode, you know about it, and I think you know about it. Next episode is on the 19th.
Oh, yeah.
And the 19th is our five-year anniversary of doing this podcast. That was the first episode that we released. I think, I'm not sure if it was Nathan and my like 22nd test episode that we did.
Yeah,
we did a few. Or if that's our first episode that we released was on the 19th of
November.
November in 2012.
Wow.
Yeah. So there'll be our five-year anniversary. We're going to have...
Death awaits us all.
Nope.
Time marches inexorably towards the grave.
Yep. So for that episode next week, we're going to be having a cookout here. We're going to have the podcast area set up here. I'm going to have my PS4 downstairs. That is going to be streaming us playing video games on a different channel, which would be probably Major Tusk Twitch channel. So we're going to be streaming random podcasters up here, video games down there, maybe some board games in the basement, and try to make it kind of like a day of things.
If we wanted to stream board games as well, you could stream it on my Twitch. We could have three different channels streaming the whole day.
I don't have the equipment for the third stream.
Sure, you just have the one camera? Mm-hmm. I thought you had two cameras.
I don't have the actual cameras that I have do not do any USB streaming, so I can't put it up. And I don't have a capture card yet. Our Patreon is paying for pretty much our internet, not our internet, the site.
Right.
And editing software and hosting in that. So that's all it's really paying
for. Is that just a Logitech 920?
Yeah.
I've got one.
Bring it. We could stream three different things from here. I'm not sure how well the quality will be. We'll have to find out. But yeah, I could set up a camera in the basement to stream.
Aha!
If you have a decent laptop, bring that and put OBS on it, and we'll get it going.
ODB. I have a decent laptop. It's touchscreen. I remember you pissing yourself with amazement at that.
I
hate touchscreen laptops personally, though.
Yeah, I liked it so much. It was amazing me being able to go like that, and it worked.
I grew to hate that when I
blend between the two. I use the keyboard and mouse and the touch screen depending on the exact thing I'm trying to do.
Yeah. No, I hated it because they became popular when I was teaching software engineering, and so I'd have students come in with their fancy new laptops, and I would be pointing out stuff in their code, and I was like poking something. It's like, shit, didn't mean to click there. Oh, didn't mean to click there and move that around. And
sure.
Like, you are the monster that's touching other people's screens then.
Yes, that's me.
Oh, if
we'd be doing it on different computers.
Yeah, we'll be doing it on different computers, so it will not be an issue. Sorry, somebody mentioned in the chat about USBs and different webcams and that. But we'll have multiple machines doing the streaming. If I can get an actual PlayStation camera, that'd be nice to have on there. I figure we'd probably see if some people could bring some extra controllers. That way we could run, Towerfall Ascension. Or, Starwall or stuff like that. I think it would be entertaining. And we were talking about Zappity Grumbles before.
I really like, what's her name? That one. I was trying to answer the villain in a movie series thing and I blanked on her fucking name.
I mean, that's kind of the problem is that in most of these, that in a lot of the movie series, there are relatively few that have consistent villains across the series.
Well, this is a villain that's in two or three. It's not the main villain. It's a side villain that's in two or three of the eight movies in the series. And I keep blanking on her fucking... In Harry Potter, the substitute, the defense against the dark arts teacher, who's the pink monstrosity, the overly nice... but super evil. Have you seen the movies, read the books?
I've seen the movies. I don't remember them well because I only saw them once in order. All I know is I appreciate not reading the books before I saw the final
Umbridge, two. Dolores Umbridge. Thank you, Arctic Circle, Jim. Dolores Umbridge is one of my favorite villains in stories slash movies because what's cool about her, so she's terrifying for two reasons. Mm-hmm. Number one, so Dolores Umbridge is a far-right Republican, is what she is. Okay. She's the, I think that this is the prim and proper, and anyone who lives a different way is a monster and deserves nothing but death. She's that total, like, the bad example of over there, not even just, like, the smart government good Republican, but the God hates fags evil version.
Sure, sure, the Westboro.
Right, she's the Westboro-style thing. But so, what I love about her is the twofold. Number one, she truly believes that what she's doing is good. She doesn't think that it's personally benefiting her. She doesn't do it because she thinks that it's for a greater good and she knows that this specific action is evil, but it's worth it in the long run. There's nothing that she, with a smile on her face, thinks that she's doing the nicest thing possible by doing these monstrous things. And so that's super cool. And number two, what I like about Dolores Umbridge is in the Harry Potter universe specifically, is that she is not a Death Eater. And it would have been so easy in the last book slash movie to have it turn out that she had secretly been working for Voldemort the whole time.
She shall not be named.
She was some undercover evil thing and wah-ha-ha, we're going to win, me and Voldemort, we're allies. Nope, she doesn't give two shits about Voldemort.
She's just evil.
She's just her own independently evil entity that's completely separate from Voldemort. It's like Shelob and Sauron, right? Shelob isn't an agent of Sauron. It's just another evil thing that they happen to encounter. And mm-hmm. I just think Umbridge is nightmare fuel. Hmm. Just the pure niceness as she does all these horrific evil things is enchanting.
Dave will probably disagree with me because it takes place in his old backyard, but it's not a movie series. I couldn't think of a movie series villain, but I really, really like Boyd Crowder from the Justified series.
Oh, I know you do. Yeah.
Yeah. He is really just, I just like his character arc. I like sometimes when villains become good guys, but I like the character arc for there where he basically kind of comes a good guy for a little bit and then just, you know, devolves back into his old ways.
I don't really have a problem with Justified because Justified takes place in a fantasy land called Kentucky. It doesn't take place in Kentucky.
Right.
All right.
I don't know. I'm having trouble coming up with a non-obvious villain across multiple movies and series.
You can say Loki, like everybody else does.
Yeah.
He's
an incompetent moron. Loki's the dumbest.
Well, he's pretty much that way in the comics. So they translated him fairly well from the comics as well.
Well, he was great in Ragnarok.
I have not seen Ragnarok yet.
Wait, that's now.
That's surprising news.
Yeah. Turn off the podcast now. Leave. Go see Ragnarok.
I am going to go see. I'm taking tomorrow off.
I can't stop saying piss off, Ghost. Piss off, Ghost. Did you know the director of Thor Ragnarok is the guy who directed What We Do in the Shadows?
Really?
Yeah, and he also directed Hunt for the Wilder People, which is amazing. Sure. And if I wasn't already recommending Gwent, that would be my recommendation for the week. But did you know he did the voice of Cork?
Oh, no.
That's the director. Yeah.
No, I plan on going to see it tomorrow. I meant to go see it this morning. I meant to go see it yesterday morning. I got invited over to a friend's house for a Guild Ball. I went to go see it this morning, but I was too lazy, and I played some Grand Theft Auto. And then tomorrow, I'm going to take off for work, and I'm going to go see Thor.
You should go see Thor.
Like now.
What I didn't realize until I saw an article about it, so the Marvel Cinematic Universe has been going on for a decade, which I knew that. I mean, because, you know, time flies, and we are all but dust. But this is the first female villain.
Hmm.
Like, the closest you get is Nebula as a sidekick in the first one. Mm-hmm. But there's every single villain has always been a man. This is the first time we've had a female villain. And
in cinematic universe, in that actual universe, Sigourney Weaver.
Sure,
in
yeah.
The Defenders.
But no. Yeah, they said cinematic universe.
Okay, sure, all right. Mm. Well, Halo's awesome. I'm excited to see the glory of the old...
And you're a big fan of the Warriors 3, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're in it too. They don't show them in the trailers and stuff, but they're in it. Sif didn't make it because I think she was filming like The Blind Spot or whatever or something else, and so Lady Sif isn't in it. But the Warriors 3 are in it.
As long as I see Falstad, I'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta share this. So somebody had mentioned a breast cancer brawl. Actually, let me get his name here so I don't. Constantinos.
It's like Constantine Yusos. With an O's at the end.
Yes. You say it. I'm good.
Constantinos. Lithos? I can't read from over here.
Has a breast cancer brawl that's happening on November 25th.
In Adelaide. Adelaide Stevenson.
Well, no, it's in Australia.
Oh, okay.
I'd lie.
But you guys should go check that out. I'm going to be sharing it on the Crippled System page here in a few moments. I had originally said I was going to mention this like an episode and a half ago, but I ended up...
When is it?
On November 25th.
It's coming up. People got to get out there.
It's in 2 weeks, so I mean, it's not... Mm-hmm. not.
It's not like it's tomorrow or something.
Correct. Or it happened yesterday.
Right. Oops.
If it happened yesterday, I would not have mentioned it. We had somebody who sent in a Zappity Grumble into chat here.
With the loosening of that doesn't have to be multiple movies. If we take series down to one movie, do you have a favorite villain, Dave?
Favorite villain in a...
Just in a movie?
Just in a movie?
I got mine right away.
What's yours?
Zorg.
Zorg?
Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg.
Yes.
Yep. That's another evil that's not related to the actual evil.
Correct. He is, but he's an evil guy. I mean, basically, yes, the giant cloud coming there and consuming evil. That's considered the main villain, but the one that gets all the spotlight is Zorg.
Yeah,
and man, it's my favorite thing is when he's walking away and he's like the
orcs. Warrior and
him. No, he was talking about the orcs and that, and like they didn't ask about the red button, yeah. And eventually they're gonna press that red button because that's what orcs do. And that is also what I envision 40K orcs being like.
Somebody just called you out on who you should have said.
Well, he has...
Charles Dance from Last Action Hero.
Charles Dance has got some amazing things in there. I mean, I just shot somebody. I mean, that isn't an amazing...
Shut up, we're trying to sleep!
it is really good, but I like Zorg better. I mean, yeah. He's right behind us up there.
Oh, my God. So I'm buying time for Dave to pick up a villain here, but I have to say this shit. So went and saw Murder on the Orient Express yesterday.
Okay.
Which was good. It's worth seeing. But they had a trailer for Darkest Hour, a movie about Churchill during World War II. And looking at it, and there's this fat fucker who's playing Churchill and his jowls are flapping and everything and he's like, I'm Churchill. I'm like, yeah, look at that fat fuck.
Was that
like
your Churchill Nixon?
Yes.
I'm not a Churchill.
So anyway, this jowly fat fuck. It looks like Churchill. And he's yammering. And I'm like, and then it's a listing who's in the movie and they mentioned Gary Oldman. I'm like, oh, I wonder who Gary Oldman plays.
Yeah.
That was Gary fucking Oldman.
Yeah.
Holy shit. If they don't give him an Oscar this year, no. I will burn down Leonardo DiCaprio.
I don't think he'll get one.
That movie, bullshit.
That movie looks fucking amazing.
He played Zorg. He played both Draculas. He played fucking just everything. In Hannibal, mm-hmm. when he, Mason Verger, mm-hmm. like, fuck. Fuck.
Yeah,
how does he not have a fucking Oscar?
He is absolutely one of my favorite actors.
Brian was saying that he and Daniel Day-Lewis should do a movie together, and I'm like, yeah, they could play like two Korean women, like you wouldn't be able to tell.
He was also, I believe, a Drexler.
Yeah, he might.
What the fuck is a Drexler? You remember?
Yeah.
From True Romance.
Yes.
Yeah, he plays. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
It's astounding.
It is amazing. Well, you mentioned this as a fun fact about him too, is that he doesn't know his own accent.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what his own voice sounds like.
Yeah,
is because he puts himself into so much of acting that He's forgotten what his own voice is. Bill the Butcher, he tapped his own fucking eye.
That wasn't him. That was Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, Daniel.
So we are switching to the other one there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because Daniel Day-Lewis has like 7 Oscars to make up for the zero that Bill Pullman. Jesus.
Yeah, Bill Pullman. He needs an Oscar, too.
I think I'm going to propose this might be a weird one because he was only in part of the movie, but General Jack T. Ripper from Dr. Strangelove.
Well, he's the hero. No, he's not. The hero. Ripper is good. Yeah. Ripper is good. That's a good one.
I have not seen Dr. Strangelove.
He's definitely the villain of the film. Like, if you have to pick a person to be the villain.
Yeah, he is the villain. I mean, he's only in the first spoiler. Okay. Do I have to spoil a 50-year-old movie that's one of the classics of Western?
Is it 50s?
It's got to be from the 60s, yeah.
Yeah, one of the classics of American cinema.
It is a phenomenal movie.
Ripper is only in about half the movie, but he's still one of my.
So I just rewatched Silence of the Lambs a couple weeks ago, and James Gunn and he's the actual villain of the film. He's only in the movie for like 15-20 minutes, and same with Hannibal Lecter. He's only in the movie for like 10 minutes, and so quantity versus quality. Yeah. And arguably, he's the one who's responsible for all the stuff that happens. So he's definitely the villain of the film.
Yeah. Ripper is definitely the villain, and just the portrayal of it is. I mean, he is the straight man in a comedy, and is just absolutely amazingly insane. Portrayed and terrifying. Mm-hmm.
The other villain in that film is the operator, who is so intent on exact, figuring out trunk call versus person to person versus call and collect. Such a good movie.
All right, so one of the quick zappity grumbles here is this is somebody that sent this in. It was Luke Fahey and asked, what etiquette do you follow for watching a friendly game, and does that differ from watching a tournament game? I was watching a tournament game some time ago, noticed someone resolving a rule incorrectly. Looked like it was Alexia Craft Thrall. I explained to them how they were meant to play the rule, and they backtracked and they played it correctly, but I felt like I should have just let them play it out and approach the player after to explain how the rule worked.
So my etiquette for watching a tournament game is I keep my fucking mouth shut. Yeah. And if I see something untoward, I will usually poke Nathan if he's nearby, which statistically when I'm watching a tournament game, he usually is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Nathan difficult.
Nathan being one of the most prominent judges in the area.
Yeah, it's difficult to see something going on wrong in the game, and I feel like it would be something that you'd want to get somebody who is an active tournament organizer or somebody that is an active judge there. If you notice something going on wrong, I don't think you should speak up yourself because you might be wrong. But it would probably be something I'd mention to a judge because it would be one of the worst things in the world to find out after the game is done that play was done incorrectly and you lost or won because of it. It sucks. It's especially.
I wouldn't kibitz like tactical decisions until after the game, right? And that you can kibitz with other people, say, oh man, that was a mistake, blah, blah, blah. But if something's actually illegal, I think you should tell somebody.
Yep.
And in a casual game, I would tell the players, and in a tournament game, I would tell the TO.
Correct.
Yeah. In a casual game, I don't say a damn thing about tactics ever. But unless somebody is a new player and is clearly invited, but if something is wrong, I will happily point it out. And I have gotten people pissed off at me, but those people were cheating new players, so I didn't give a fuck.
Right. Yeah. If something's legally wrong, you should point it out either to the players or thing. And tactically, I don't be afraid to ask. Like I would say, hey,
oh yeah,
do you mind if I mention some advice? And if you're. And I do the same thing after a game with a player, that I played against. I'd be like, do you want – and really most people actually will ask you in the first place, whether win or lose, people like, hey, what do you think? Do you think there's anything I could have done better? Because everybody wants to improve.
Yeah, I do that a lot after the decision's made of either they say, do you mind if I comment on this after the fact? Or can you explain why you were doing that? Because I'm not sure why you did that.
Right.
And sometimes it turns out because I forgot something. But.
Yeah. Also, somebody in the chat's talking about the Silence of the Lambs making watching Monk a little awkward. and it shows the psychology of humans and the differentiation of reality and fiction. But the two people who were the closest on the set of Silence of the Lambs were I'm blanking on the actor and actress's name, but the guy who played Buffalo Bill and the guy who played the girl in the well for the whole film. Mm-hmm. Every time, like they spent the entire shoot together. They would go out for lunch and dinner together. They would hang out. They would play cards. They were the closest friends. Like they had known each other for 20 years. And I'm 100% certain that if they were on any other film set, they would not have done so. But they just needed an antidote, right? Like they needed to not be the guy torturing a woman to death and the woman being tortured to death.
Correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of like the Planet of the Apes self-segregation. Whenever they would break for lunch, it didn't matter who they knew in real life. Like if you and I were bestest buddies, mm-hmm. Why say if? So Andy and I are bestest and buddies, and we go and we're both extras on Planet of the Apes. When they would break for lunch, all the chimps sat with the chimps, and all the gorillas sat with the gorillas, and all the orangutans sat with the orangutans. Didn't matter if you were a gorilla and I was a chimp, we would not eat together on that set because they instinctively, subconsciously sat with people they looked like.
Yeah.
Because that's ingrained in our biology.
Mm-hmm.
So crazy.
But yeah, going back to that question, always ask for permission if you're trying to give advice during a friendly game. Some people may not welcome it, but you know, it's always it doesn't hurt to ask.
And also, I don't know, am I the only one that does this, that I am much better when I am looking at somebody else's game than when I'm playing myself?
Oh no, I'm that way not only with game but with like sex also.
Okay.
When I'm watching somebody else, I'm like, oh, you should do this. It would be way better. No, yeah, it is, because I think it's a stress thing. It's a second-guessing thing. It's stepping out. Like, I've actually heard of people, not necessarily with War Machine specifically, but in general, like, if you get up and, like, walk over to the other side of the table, or, like just to break your brain out of where it is, it can improve your performance.
Also, the other
also
thing
in sex, too.
Yeah, also in sex. If you get out and walk to the other side of the table, it improves your performance.
Also, I've had that question a few times. Like after winning a game, somebody said, "Well, how should I play into this? What do I do to beat what you're playing?" And I'm sitting there thinking about it, and I said, "I don't know, because if I knew, I wouldn't be playing this."
Right. That's true. Yeah. Like I tried to. I purposely made it so that there was no answer to that question. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like. Yeah. I don't want there to be an answer.
It's like the list I'm putting together now is that I'm putting this together because with the stuff I played before, I was like, I don't have a solution for this, so I'm going to play it.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do I undermine your defenses? Well, hopefully you can't. Well, yeah. That's all the Zooples apples.
That's all the Zappity Grumbles, as far as I can tell.
Neat. Well, I recommend Gwent.
What? Surprise.
Surprise.
I recommend going to War Machine Weekend.
I
just recommend going to War Machine events, even that require travel, even if you're, whether or not you're going to play, just because the War Machine community is awesome. I mean, this is kind of obvious because Nathan doesn't play War Machine and is still active in the community because the community is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, come to the ATC. You don't even have to play. Show up. We'll have,
out. You can come drink. You can come drink with us. It'll be awesome.
Yep. A bunch of drunk judges. It's going to be great.
Yeah, we're working on. Yeah, as I said, I mean, we're in the middle of the final stages. We're figuring out our matching outfits for our team, and we found a place that will customize flannel pajamas.
Do you have top hats? No. Top hats and flannel pajamas sounds pretty awesome.
Flannel pajamas.
One team
slippers.
Is doing a pimp and harem. Yeah. But it's gender swap. Jackie wants to go as a pimp with a bunch of guys cross-dressing as her prostitutes.
Yeah, my wife was asking if she could learn to play War Machine well enough to play on that team.
I mean, yes. I mean, she could play well enough right now, I'm sure. There are definitely teams out there. Not everybody who comes is super competitive.
Yes.
Also, the nice thing about team events, she could lose every round and still get a berth in the World Team Championship.
Correct. Yeah. the one thing I will say, and this is, I'm okay with significant others always coming to events, but only at the behest of the significant other asking to come.
Don't drag people along.
Don't bring your boyfriend, girlfriend to D&D because it's the worst sometimes. But if they say they want to show up, then
even if we have a safe word, even if we have a safe word,
well, what? We're not talking about the other side of the table.
Now the upper hand is on the other foot. It's because they don't want to be there, and nobody else wants them there.
Yeah. So on a better note, I'm going to recommend going to War Machine Weekend. And
he just did that.
And going to Gamehole Con. Because next year...
They're on different weekends.
They're on different weekends.
It's like alternate years they're on different weekends,
seems
basically.
Like it, they haven't been like that since Game Hole Con 2. Because that was the year... Oh, no.
Yeah, no, this year and last year, they were on the same weekend last year as well.
Okay, so 2 years ago, I think they were on
it different weekends. Maybe on three it was. Because I actually was at one of the Game Hole Cons. The year that we interviewed Ed Greenwood for the podcast, that was, I think, Game Hole Con 2. But I'm going to try to talk to Carl, try to sweet talk Carl, and see if we can make Game Hole Con a War Machine Weekend qualifier that happens a week after War Machine Weekend. Because I think that would be entertaining.
We'll see if, because the solo masters at ATC last year was a wild card thing. Depending on attendance, as attendance grows for the ATC, the solo masters might become a qualifying event. Which would be a double.
Oh, for War Machine Weekend?
For War Machine Weekend,
But just to reiterate, come to War Machine Weekend. It's awesome. I've already applied to be a volunteer for helping with events next year.
You're in the think tank already, aren't you?
I'm already in the think tank. Yeah. Does that mean I'm a volunteer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, you're pretty much in with the cool kids.
Yeah, I just need to get a hat now.
No, you don't. I already told you. You could be our number four. You just need a boot and goggles.
That's my Peppy Steve. Just nail the boots to planks of wood.
Yeah, because in the picture, it was in the think tank. Somebody was asking, "Is like, what are we going to do? Because we need somebody. We need to clone Andy so we can get him outside of the place." And I told him they could just use Dave. Dave could be my number four.
Yeah.
He could be wearing his boot helmet and his goggles. Be great. So that's a hat that you need. You need a boot hat.
That's my Peppy Steve.
Just like what's that New Jersey guy who ran for Senate?
Vermin Supreme.
It is entertaining to watch somebody wear a boot for a hat.
Dude, what about Lord Buckethead?
He sucks. He's
what?
Buckethead, the guitarist for Guns N' Roses?
No. Lord Buckethead.
That was Buckethead.
No. There's Buckethead and there's Lord Buckethead.
I didn't know there was a Lord Buckethead.
Lord Buckethead.
I didn't know that there was some kind of hierarchy in Bucketheadness.
Lord Buckethead is a British politician.
I he looks like the Black Knight.
He is dabbing.
Yes. I have seen him, yes. Now I know who Lord Buckethead is. It's a different country. So, I mean, if Buckethead was in England, then he would be Lord Buckethead.
I searched Lord Buckethead and related searches had Vermin Supreme. So...
Well, they both kind of the same characters for...
And Mr. Fishfinger.
Mr. Fishfinger, who's this though?
I don't know. It's related. Okay, it is. Yeah, it's a guy dressed as a fish finger.
That is the best picture. I love the smile and the thumbs up. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
I don't know what's up with Mr. Fishfinger. Where is he?
Even though we're Americans, can we still vote for them?
Oh, yeah, you can always write in your candidate.
He's wearing khakis and a white button-up shirt under his fish finger costume.
Oh, I mean, if we can make a mockery of the mockery, then it's pretty good. I mean,
yeah.
Sadly, one of these years, somebody that's orange and that will get elected. Oh, wait. Oh.
Wah, wah. It's funny because we're all going to die.
All right, we should probably call the podcast out on that note. Thanks, y'all, for watching. And
you should also go see Thor Ragnarok. It's good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I haven't seen it.
I know you haven't.
I don't know what it's about.
You suck. It's about Thor and Ragnarok, and Hela's in it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for watching, guys. Catch you next week when we do our shenanigans. It may not be much of a shenanigans. We'll probably just... sit here and drink. And
I almost asked what shenanigans you were talking about because that's how little attention I was paying. No, I just forgot. I lost track of the fact that that's next week. I thought it was 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, the best part about it is I had to change the episode name. This is going to be the third time now because it's only going to be episode 219
right.
instead of originally, which was 221. Yeah.
But looking forward to 222.
222.
We're a third of the way to pure evil.
Yeah.
Good times.
Well, all right, thanks, guys, for watching.
No, what we need for the podcast, since we're becoming more of a Wisconsin less of a War Machine podcast, we need a deep fryer for cheese curds.
I don't want to
blow Patreon, make it happen.
I don't want to blow a circuit out up here, and I've got a lot of electronics up here.
It's fine.
It would be yeah. excellent. Like, can we get a cornballer from Arrested Development?
Yeah.
Because that would be great. You just suddenly see that going, and they're like, ow, and then tip over, fire, and then the podcast cuts out.
Yeah.
You might see that this Sunday, this next coming Sunday.
We can do that.
Yeah. No. No, it's my house.
We can set your house on fire.
No, I would rather not.
It's a plan. It's officially command from Andy, head of the podcast, that I'm supposed to burn his house down. That's what I heard, and I won't unhear it. Just like I didn't burn down that Topper's pizza.
What?